Behold, I am doing a new thing, from Isaiah 43, 18, 19. The Lord does not do everything the same. We are in a new covenant. And he said it's not like the first covenant. We are supposed to be a people he gives a new heart, a new spirit, walking in a new way. And if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. I am doing a new thing. It's not like before. So don't look at people in the Old Testament and say, well, my life is like them. I mess up like they do. They weren't perfect either. The Lord wants to do a new thing. A new thing. And how do we respond to that? This is what he said in Isaiah. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? So the question for us is, how do we react to new things? Do we welcome them? Or do we wrestle with them? We like new, don't we? We like new cars, new phones, new gadgets, new appliances. But do we like everything new?
No.
It's interesting that some of us may have some preferences for the old.
Yes.
Jesus said this in a parable one time to the Jewish leaders. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Now, why would you even think about trying to take a new garment and tearing a piece out of it to fix an old garment? What is it about old garments that we may prefer over new?
They're comfortable.
That's right. I think sometimes we have things in our wardrobe that need to be thrown out, but we don't throw them out because they're very comfortable. We've worn them well. But it's interesting that that's what some of us would do. Jesus added another to reemphasize this. He also said, and no one pours new wine into old wine skins. Wine skins were animal skins. And an old wine skin would be leather that dries out. And if you pour new wine, and newer wine means it's the internal action, the agitation, the chemical reactions have not settled down yet. The fermentation process is very strong, and it swells. It's gaseous. And so it's going to swell. New wine would swell an old skin. And if you pour new wine into a skin that doesn't stretch, the skin will burst. And you've lost the new wine, and you've lost the wine skin as well. And he adds, and no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new right away, for he says, the old is better. The old is better than the new. That's in Luke chapter 5. Let me ask us, do we prefer the old way? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that. Yeah, I think sometimes we have in our mind that the old-time religion is better than a new thing. Wait a minute, what's this new thing? What's this new music? What's this new way to come to church? There are certain traditional things we like. We get used to a certain way of doing things because we're familiar with it. We're familiar with the old way, and when you're familiar with something, it's easy to become comfortable. You fit right in. Sometimes you're comfortable with the same old. How do we want to do it? Well, let's do it like we did it last year. No, let's do it like we've always done it. That's how I want to do it. I like the way we've done it. Let's do it like we've always done it. You know, what are we hoping for? What are we anticipating when we pray? Are we praying, Lord, move in our church and in our mind so it'll be just like it used to be? Is that, you know, what are you thinking? What are you looking for when you're asking the Lord to move? You want him to make things like they were before? And when it's more comfortable to us, doesn't that make it better? Doesn't that mean it's better? Because after all, I'm more comfortable. It's better. I don't like to be uncomfortable. I don't know how I feel about that new thing. That's kind of different. That's kind of strange. The old way is better, is it? You know, it seems the older we get, and there's a few of us that are in that edad, you know what they say? In that period of life. Is it that the more important comfort becomes? We need a comfortable chair. We need a comfortable bed. Right? You know? I mean, when kids are little, they can sleep on concrete or solid wood, or they'll fall asleep in, but not us. It needs to be comfortable. We need to be comfortable. We even need the temperature in the rooms to be comfortable. It's freezing in here, or it's hot in here, or it's, in our minds, the old is good enough if we're comfortable, right? We're comfortable. We like it the way it is. Why change things? Why change things? We're comfortable. You know, Jesus knew our human nature, didn't he? He knew our human nature. And that's why he said, no one having drunk the old desires the new right away. Because they say the old is better. And in if he's talking about wine, it probably is a little bit more mellow. It's a newer wine, probably has a little bit more harshness to it. They say that wine mellows over time. So they say the old is better. The question is the old really better? We can say it's more comfortable. We can say we're more familiar with it. We're accustomed to it. It's less challenging to us. It's easier for us. So why would God want to do a new thing if the old is good enough for us? You know, when the Lord Jesus came, he brought a new work. He was here to establish a new day. And you know what? The leaders of the people weren't too happy about it. They didn't like his type of new. He didn't seem to appreciate how good they had worked everything out. In their minds, they had a good thing going, didn't they? They had the temple services. They had many laws in place to kind of keep people in check. And their mindset was to preserve the old way. That's what they... And Jesus didn't seem to go along very well with that, did he? He was kind of upsetting the apple cart. In fact, he made them very uncomfortable. He wasn't predictable. He didn't seem to be going along with their way of doing things. He was kind of a maverick, wasn't he? A troublemaker, was he? He's introducing new ideas. Maybe they were threatened by it. Remember, he was the chosen cornerstone. But he was the stone. What did the builders do?
Rejected.
They rejected. Wow. So how much are we like them? How much are we like them? Are we prone to think the old is better than the new?
Brother.
Yes, sir.
it all depends of the circumstance. Some things that are old are very valuable, like manners, customs, traditions, respect.
Yeah.
Those are all values, and they are still good.
Right. And we're gonna be looking at some of that. How the question is, how do we determine that they are good? We can't determine it just because they're old. Right? That's the key. It's not, they're not good just because they're old. If they're good, it's because they're good, not because they're old, right?
Depends on the circumstance.
Right. So that's, we'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at that. Like, for example, which is better here? Which is better? We need to dress up for God's house.
Yes. Amen.
That's the old thought. Yes. That's proper manners.
Yeah.
And who is this guy over here on the right? He just comes as you are. Come on, man. This is God's house.
I think it's the pastor on the
right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, and like here, which is better? Which is better? Come on, lady. Shouldn't you be wearing? Couldn't you come in a dress all the time?
No.
Come on. This is God's house. Are we being stretched here? There are things that we can hold, and if they're not even challenged, if no one even questions them, we just assume. We assume the way we have done it is right. And we'll get into how we can, we'll get into that a little bit more, but let me stretch this a little more. How about this? How about the one on the left? That's a piano and choir. That's the better way, right? This, what is this thing on the right over here? Is praise band? At the church? But look at those guys. I mean, come on. I mean, which, you know, do drums make us uncomfortable?
No.
They do some people. Yes, Emily.
When you go out on a date, don't you dress up for your date? Mm-hmm. And we'll say, well, yeah, you know. And she said, isn't the Lord worth more? Shouldn't you dress up for him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what she said. You come to church dressed up because you're coming to worship the Lord. Right. You're not going on.
You know, these are just examples. I haven't even challenged us with some other things. Like, for example, there's a way that we're used to doing things here at University Park. But if we were to visit a church in Haiti, we'd probably see everyone on their feet. I mean, jumping the whole for hours, jumping, yelling, shouting, clapping. But you might think, that's strange. That's not the way I'm used to doing things. What if someone stands up and just, I was in a church services where these ladies would have the spirit come on them and they would holler. Oh, woo! I mean, they would.
That's how he thought, and, what is his church?
Yeah. They, you see, we, that would make some of us very uncomfortable. You know, it's because it's different. And the question is, Sister Diane, did you see? David danced to the point where his wives didn't like it. Yeah. Yes, Brother Gary.
My thought on maybe this is just another angle or thought. When you look at the two pictures, but my question is, or my comment, is there sometimes can be a religious spirit behind why I dress the way I dress, where I might be more formal, more dressed up. If I'm doing it for the right reason, but don't let a feeling of pride or self-righteous or being better than that person on mm-hmm. my right slide, I think that can filter into
yeah, sure.
why people do what they
sure.
do. Hopefully not, but it can.
It can. Yeah, Rebecca. Well, that's just it. One time, and you never seen your pastor like this, but I was at an Assembly of God church in Frederick County, Missouri, and it was an excitement in the air, and suddenly the pastor took off running.
Yeah, they do that.
And I got up and I ran right after him. I'd never done that ever. And he got back, and I got back to my seat, and then he said several other men should have gotten up and run. So I like, thank you, Lord. You know, it was a little uncomfortable to me, but that's just what I felt at the time. And I'm just saying that it's good for us to examine this. We may not come up with the answers tonight. Sometimes the questions are good. It's good to stir our hearts, but we'll go a little bit further in the study. Because this is the question right now some of us may be wondering. Is it wrong to have a personal preference?
No.
No, of course not. It's not wrong to have a personal preference. It's not wrong to be more comfortable, to be familiar with the way that you have known and to prefer. You know, you may not, it may make you uncomfortable if someone's always amen, amen, or, you know, that may make you uncomfortable. But it's not necessarily wrong to have a personal preference, but consider this statement very carefully. It can become wrong, or it will become wrong, when we make our personal preference the standard we impose on others to help make us keep comfortable.
Amen.
You need to learn the right way, sir. You know, because that's when we're making my preference the standard. And that's where you might be holding that preference in a way that's not healthy for the body of Christ in general. Remember what James says? This comes from James, the book of James, chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have. You want it to be a certain way, in other words, but it's not going your way. So you kill. And of course, Jesus said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've murdered him. So if you hate what someone's doing, you're a murderer in your heart. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Let me translate it to this topic. When you ask, you don't receive because what you're asking for is, Lord, do it the way I think you should. Do it my way. Move on our church and make it like the good old days. Yes, Curtis?
A lot of times when you go in churches, it seems like they tell you, well, it's my way or the highway.
Sometimes.
And that's what causes
sometimes
church splits.
It can, depending on how we hold something. Fill in the blank here. It's a scripture from, if you quote, according to King James, contention cometh but by, what's the word? Contention cometh but by pride. The root of all contention. It's one thing for me to have a preference. It's another thing for Curtis to have a preference. We can get along fine until one of us is proud about our preference. Then it's going to become a matter of contention. Because I think my preference is pretty good. And I think you should consider my preference. You know, see, that's the way we hold it. It's not having a preference. It's how strong. Pride is thinking my way is better. My way is better. Without considering the other person.
That's right.
Okay? And that's where, if we make our preference the standard, here's what we want. It's okay for someone to come in that's kind of different, that's kind of new. They'll get it. A friend of mine used to say, we'll give them football fields a room. And what he meant was to become just like us. That was in his mind. It's like, we'll give them time. And sometimes we can be that way. Okay, yeah, we'll be patient. They'll figure it out. They'll get it right eventually. And what we're meaning is they'll learn our way. They'll conform to the way we're doing it. And there needs to be order in what we do. There needs to be order. So we're not talking about disorderly things. Yes, Brother Rudy.
The problem, as I see, and please understand, as I see.
That is the problem.
Okay.
That was devil.
The problem is that in some churches, the worship has become a show.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Has become
all right.
A show.
Sure. And that's one extreme. And in other churches, it's no show. It's just dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a show and you have dead.
Well, but the thing is, for instance, going back to the dressing, I think the Lord, like Sister Emily was saying earlier, I think the Lord deserves the best. Dolores and I, we have eaten many Sundays after church at a Cajun restaurant that is on Loop 410 South. It's called Arquediana.
Let me interrupt. I think I'm following you. But what if what if someone's best is they don't even own a tie?
Well,
and what if their best is just a casual shirt and a pair of jeans that's not new, that's we may think it hasn't been washed, but I know I have many nice jeans with stains. They're my best jeans. So I'm not gonna let you try to convince us that dressing up is better.
Far be from me to do that, but you didn't finish saying.
All right.
You didn't let me finish what I was saying.
Okay.
Dolores and I are amazed when we go to Arquediana, which is a Cajun restaurant. Many black brothers and sisters, they have come from their church, and you should see them.
Right. I mean, and there, we know that there are extremes because some people dress to the, what we will call the hilt. You know, it's, and the one thing the Bible does say, there is a, if we're going to talk about dress, the scripture kind of warns against lavish dress.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. It just says a woman's dress should not be in, you know, for pearls and braided hair and expensive clothing, but that of the inner manner of the heart, the hidden beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is a great work in the sight of God.
I'm not trying to convince anybody,
okay,
brother.
I know. Now, thank you. That's, I follow you. Now, let's change. What about this right here? What about our doctrine? Doctrine means our teaching, what we understand the Bible says. You know, when you become convinced this is what the Bible teaches, and someone comes along and teaches something new, different than you understand, is it automatically wrong?
No.
It's not, is it? How do we determine that? You know, how do we determine it's not? Because especially when we have held it for a long time, and when we have assumed, not in a bad way, when we just assume we this is what it is, and someone shares something differently, it's tough at times. And we're challenged in that.
Well, I think if you tell me, then it's right.
Yeah, I understand, but I could be wrong. Here's the question. When that happens, do we re-examine our position in light of the scriptures? Do we go back to the scriptures and look again?
Yes.
Is that because is that the authority? Because sometimes that's not how a person reacts. Sometimes we reject something new because we just don't like it. I don't like that. That doesn't make me feel secure. You know what? Depending upon how strong I might stress, you know, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That could make you feel uncomfortable when you don't want it, when you want to think, I've already taken care of that. It's not, my salvation is not based upon my works. You know, it's a gift. But the scripture does say we're to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Yes, Brother Gary.
And we have what we call clothesline preachers, which meant that they would always say, you women shouldn't wear this and you men shouldn't wear that. It's a sin for you women to wear open-toed shoes.
Yeah.
You right. men to wear two-toned mm-hmm. shoes.
Right.
And he talked about a pastor who had promoted that. And 6 months later, that pastor was wearing two-toned shoes.
Wow.
And why? Was wearing open-toed shoes.
No, no.
And he said a great statement. He said, did truth change? And he said, no, truth did not change, but the man's understanding
right.
of truth changed.
Yeah, and that does happen. That is a good way. Now, this is something good for us to consider, just to cherish this in our heart. Defending or guarding tradition is not the same as holding the truth, is it? Because it's easy to equate tradition and truth. The biblical word for tradition is that which is passed down from one to another. So, the older people in our life, the people we have looked up to, whoever they are, they have passed things down. When I came here to University Park, I had never heard of anything like Chrismon. What's that? Well, it's a tradition that's here. People knew of it here. And so I get asked every year, are we doing Chrismon? Because that person who holds it dear, that's what they want. They want Chrismon to be like the Chrismons they've had for a long time. And some people say, well, what's that? Someone comes along and it's not in anything to them. You know, it's something brand new.
What is it?
Huh? It is it's a special service kind of earlier than Christmas that you put white angels on the Christmas tree and people share things from their heart. And you know, there are certain traditions that involve, you know, and do we realize that not everyone even believes that you should celebrate Christmas? Do you realize that? Are they wrong? Are they crazy? Don't celebrate Christmas. I used to not celebrate Christmas. So if you think they're crazy, your pastor used to be crazy. I remember the time when my at my, my mom and dad's house. They wanted to do the Christmas story, and my wife and I and our children walked out of the room. Y'all go right ahead. Because in our mind, the time of year they chose, they had taken a Roman pagan festival and they had merged the birth of Christ with this Roman pagan festival, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And I was as sincere then as I am now. So you see how we can change? Do I have questions about Christmas? Sometimes. I don't go that far. Christmas comes pretty secular, doesn't it? I kind of wrestle when I see these pagan Hollywood stars suddenly get all Christmas spirit, get in the Christmas spirit. Like if they're worshiping someone who's going to send them to hell. They're singing about this babe in the manger who's now the Lord of heaven and earth and is going to judge them for the way they live. There just seems to be a disconnect there. You know, yes, Miriam.
Mm-hmm. The first time I went to the Assemblies of God Church, our mother church that was sponsoring us, I went and I said, "These are all sinners." Because they had makeup on,
yeah, right,
their
yeah.
hair was short, they were yeah. dressed.
You know, your pastor's wife, look and see if she may wear a little makeup now, but she used to never wear makeup. And her hair used to be to the middle of her knees. And she only wore dresses.
So your wife?
Huh?
Your wife?
Yeah, my wife.
Because yeah. it was you wanted her.
Yeah, it's because women shouldn't cut their hair. It's right for women to have long hair. And what is long? In my mind, it was long. You know, it's just so you know we grow, but you see we need to hold things very carefully. What we believe about these things.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
If you please go back to the last, the very first one on the top. That is an absolute, brother, because I don't think that decent, honest traditions are contrary to the truth.
No. But that just, yeah, but it's not this necessarily equal automatically. Because,
no, not equal.
Because in the next slide we'll see, because some traditions came from men and not God. And Jesus actually opposed some traditions. But you're right. They're good traditions are not opposed to truth. Absolutely right. See, remember, what Jesus said to the Jewish leaders, he said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition. They had established certain traditions that were actually causing the commandments of God to not be kept. And you know that's... Well, that's the thing. There are churches or various things that a part of their tradition is idols or icons, they would call them. And it's very much a part of their tradition. You know, there's alcoves all over San Antonio with Mary, right? In the La Virgen de la Guadalupe. You know, this... And so that not all traditions equal truth, but so we need to be willing to re-examine traditions. We need to be willing to re-examine what we have held. Now this is what I mean by that. So we just need to understand this. Old does not equal authentic. Right? Churches may have taught something for a long time. That does not mean it originated in the Bible. The Mormon church has been around a long time. Did what they teach originate in the Bible? You see? There's There's certain things that have been around a long, long time. That doesn't mean it's authentic. We have to determine that by examination, by testing, by weighing. And you know what? New? New does not necessarily mean it's better either, does it? Just because there's a lot of churches doing new things and new worship and new songs, okay, that doesn't necessarily mean it's better. How do we test such things? How careful are we?
Well, Paul said, examine everything, retain which is good.
Absolutely, right? And that's what we need to be willing to do. We are to test all things to determine, are they actually from God? And we need to be able to do that on a regular basis. You know, differences or of preferences, they can coexist peacefully. They can. When we do not go beyond a safe boundary. Yes?
What's wrong with worshiping the Lord? It says in the Bible to sing and dance. What's wrong with dance?
Nothing. Sometimes it may make someone uncomfortable, and we want to be sensitive, you know, if it does, but...
I believe that, you know, the Lord wants us to surrender ourselves and worship Him. And like Brother Rudy said, sometimes it is a show. Let's see who's watching me.
Right.
And I've been in churches where, you know, people are worshiping, and I can see women wiggling their butts, and it's in the flesh. In a spirit. So it can be something that is not of God.
Right.
But it's not for us to be judging who is and who is not.
Right.
You know, and so...
And this is the... What is a boundary? What is a boundary? A boundary is an area of space that is in your control. And... If I step across that boundary, I'm trespassing. You see what I'm saying? I'm trespassed. I've stepped into your space. And if we're overconfident in our own preference, we will step across a proper boundary and try to convince someone of our idea. That's what I want us to be careful about.
Pastor,
yes, brother.
Several years ago, Peter Jennings, who was the anchor on ABC, Evening News, interviewed a minister named John Wimber, who founded the church known as the Vineyard.
Uh-huh.
Right with God, and one member was just outraged by these manifestations. And he said to John Wimber after the service, now just how far is this going to go? And the Holy Spirit quickened a response to John for John to say to him, and he picked up his Bible and said, it's not going to go any further than this right here.
Yeah, we have a means to test all things. And, you know, one of the things that when we go to test things, thorough testing takes time, doesn't it? So the way to test all things is like, I gave that 5 seconds of thought. No, you're wrong. I thought about that a long time. No, to test something means, okay, I will go back and re-examine it. I'll be like a Berean. I will go back and I'll examine the scriptures again and see that. And we need an openness to do that. And that openness comes from lowliness. A lowly view of ourselves. This is why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because they're not confident. They're not proud. They need help. And they need God's help. And so they're willing to re-examine something and to consider it. And realize, and it's okay. God places wonderful things together. in cooking, and many of you know this more than I do, you know, there's some spices that are very strong. And if you were to just eat that, you say, it's just terrible. Oh, but but the right amount combined with something else makes something wonderful. You see, we need to be careful. It may be something, because I'm cooking and I hear people make these statements, I don't eat any of that. Like, and it's sometimes it's because your body can't handle it, but someone else loves it. That's just you. You can't handle it, or maybe you don't like it. I don't touch the stuff. That's sick. Oh, really? God made that sick stuff, you know? So you're just saying but he messed up on that one, huh?
Yeah.
That was really, no, that's a, we're not careful. You know, we're not careful. And that's my point tonight, what was on our heart is, we don't know what the days ahead hold, do we? We don't know what City Church, you know, they're coming into partnership with us. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, we don't know what we might see at times. So we need to be open. We need to test all things. You know, we need to be ready to be a little uncomfortable. Okay? I'm not sure how it's going to make me feel. But we need to approach it with respect. Now, and this is something that is, you know, obviously, those who here at University Park, you've been here long. You've invested many years, and you're in this church. And you're one of the reasons the doors are open, that someone else even has an ability to come here because of you've poured your life into here. And so it's kind of easy to think this is our church. And it's easy to write from that thought is, and this is the way we do things at our church. You see, it's natural. It's not evil. You're not trying to be belligerent in that. It's just, it's a natural way of thinking. You've shaped the way things are. And then when new people come, a new member comes, and what if they say, but you know, I'd like the music to be different. Or they want something different. They bring in an idea but we've never done that. You just see, are we open? Are we open? Or when we are so comfortable, is in our mind that without intentionally thinking, do we subconsciously think, well, the new members need to learn to conform to the way we do things? It's easy to assume that. The new people just need to learn, this is how we do it. And they'll figure it out. But what if God sent them as a new person to introduce a new way? What if God sending them here is not so that they will become like us, but that we'll become a little bit more like them? That would be a novel thing. God doing a new thing. You know, can an old dog learn new tricks? I hope so. So if the Lord begins a new work, which occurs in a new way, using a new group of people to produce a different result than we are accustomed to, how will we react? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And pray and turn from their wicked but sometimes it is abusing the change.
Yeah.
Not humbling ourselves, because it's a humbling to say, hey, you know, maybe I've been, maybe there's a better way.
Right.
Maybe God has anything that, and we have to let go of the ways we've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, like you say, some things, old, like I my kitchen is full of old-fashioned stuff. So it's like, but there's new things that make things easier, get there faster. And so that's one of the things that I want to greet the Lord. So I say, Lord, help me to humble myself that I can be open, because it could be something that God is doing and you don't receive it because it's not the way you see it.
Right. Yeah, it must have been an interesting time. You know, if some of y'all have seen the Chosen series, and they seem to portray most of the disciples as younger. And here are these younger men confronting these older seasoned Jewish leaders. And I just think it was difficult for these older Jewish leaders to be confronted and spoken to by these younger men that hadn't been in their schools and hadn't learned their ways. And so, you know, and even young men like Stephen, who speaking the truth to them, appealing to them. And even though everything he said to them was true, the end result was they hated it so much, they covered their ears and gnashed their teeth and killed him. Yeah. 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 So anyway, so let's, what am I asking us to do? Is yes, follow the Spirit, test all things, and hold your preferences in a beautiful personal way. And, you know, help someone. You know, it may be if someone comes in and they're just shabby, maybe, you know, maybe you should think, I wonder if that's the best they have. You know, don't be quick to judge. Perhaps there's a situation you can, a way that you can help without creating an offense. You know, with the, and meet someone truly respecting differences, truly regarding one another, and an openness, and maybe it'll give the Lord freedom to move among us in powerful ways. Okay? All right.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
This is not a joke. So help me God.
Okay.
Not a joke.